Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show.
Go, Jackie, go. You look like you have shit to say.
Oh, my God. I wish I had shit to say. I went to the mall 2 days ago, and I almost had a panic attack.
What happened?
Because of how many people were there. Right. And I was just like, oh, this is going to be nerve-wracking. I also did a live set. You know that Maddie Fortuna gig down south of the 10 a little bit on Fairfax?
Yeah.
It's such a good show. And everyone was distanced. I could tell that most of them, I got the vibe that most of them were vaccinated, but everyone was still wearing masks when they weren't eating and drinking. Uh-huh. It was outside. It had all the earmarks of, but it also had this frenetic energy.
Yeah.
Of we're vaccinated. Let's hug people and do things. And yeah. I get that. I have that. But yeah, it was, it's going to take us. And then I'm flying. I did just change my flight again.
For your Arkansas gig?
Yeah. Cause I didn't want to drive at 9:30 at night.
Right.
And get to Lowell at 1 a.m. So now I'm going to get there. I'm going to get to Kansas City around 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I'll just drive and it'll be nighttime when I get there. But I'll open up, but most of it'll
be exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. I had a full comedy weekend this weekend.
4 shows, right?
3 shows. Okay. Well, first of all, let's back up. When I came home this morning, I realized whenever I would come home from the road, my mom would greet me. You know, that was nice. The kitchen would be clean, right? Yep. This time I came home and my son says, oh, I'm recording in the garage, so don't come in there. That was my hello.
What's his, first of all, I'm so sorry, what is he recording?
Oh, he makes TikToks and stuff like that.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it was weird. Okay, so my surgery's tomorrow, right? And I had to bring all this bath stuff with me because I have to start taking these germ-free, doing germ-free washes starting last night. And I was supposed to be wearing, you know, like fresh attire and sleeping in a in clean sheets. maybe I should have, you know, done this weekend another time. But whatever, I'm here. And I was going to come home late today and just hang around San Francisco, have a lazy day in San Francisco, walk around. But then I had to get a COVID test.
Right.
And I could have got one in San Francisco, but I don't know if they'd be able to turn it around in time. So I knew if I came back and got one here at UCLA, they'd get it done in 24 hours. Because if they don't have the results, they won't do the surgery. So so I took a very early flight home or back here this morning and drove to Santa Monica and got a COVID test.
Wow.
And then I was Southwest was the flight out full. Middle seat taken pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. And then the return flight was early on a Sunday. So it wasn't, there were no middle seats. The middle seats were all open. They were not taken, but there was a good amount of people on it. I was like B38 or something. So at least that many people.
The old ABCs of Southwest. Yeah. I have not been able to wrap my head around this Arkansas trip. The Colorado trip is done, I believe. Though now that I say that, I think I have to find a hotel for myself for Boulder. And I don't know if I'm getting rides everywhere. I think I am. Anyway, but if ground travel is included, I will ask them, not now. Because now we're doing a podcast, you guys.
So I flew into Oakland and I took BART to San Francisco where the hotel was. It was Club Quarters, the old hotel.
Yeah.
I stayed at Club Quarters in London. I love Club Quarters. Even though I don't really like it that much, I'm like, I know it. I know these people. We're all friends.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The rooms are so tiny.
The Marriott Town Suite in Minneapolis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's fine.
It comes up with my credit checks. I've stayed there so many times. Have you ever lived at the town place in Minneapolis? Yes, I have. Several weeks a year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but that's what I think about the club quarters. It's like that, where you're like, it's not my favorite, but I'm used to it. I even know their art.
Yes, exactly.
It's those early 20th century Minneapolis in the snow photos. So, who doesn't want that? I'm looking forward to doing a hotel art in Arkansas this weekend.
Sure. So, I'm sure that'll be pretty stuff.
Yeah. Well, it could be bears in a boat. It could be bears fishing.
Yeah.
You don't know. Sometimes they have like a bear family.
Here's my point. The BART station at Oakland Airport sucks, and they should do a better job. It's like half the terminals that we buy tickets on were down, and it just was real sloppy. It's like, come on, man, this is the Bay Area. You have so much money. Fucking spend it a little bit on your BART station. It's an airport BART station, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it should be. Everything should work at the airport BART station.
Yes.
Yes. It's I never want to. Everyone's always bragging about the BART and the transit system in San Francisco.
Who's bragging about it? Nobody likes it. It's awful.
Everybody brags about it to me. They're just like,
give me a name.
Nato Green.
All right. He's an evangelist. He's been brainwashed because
there's so many people who've, it is awful. And people always complain. They bitch about the LA transit system. But I was like, you, much like San Francisco, you can get anywhere with the LA transit system. It will take you 3 hours. I mean, the sprawl is ridiculous. You can get, I don't know if you can get to Walnut Creek on the transit system, but I believe you can. But it just takes for freaking ever because of the landmass that you're working with.
Well, it takes a while, but also you have to drive to a BART station and park. It's not convenient.
Oh, no, you can take a bus. You can take a bus.
Okay, yes.
And people are real excited about, you could take a bus to the train and it's all. And I'm like, stop talking. I'm taking an Uber.
It's fine if you have a toddler who's excited by that stuff, but it's. Yeah, so I took Bart, and then I got a ride with Janesh, who books the show along with Marty.
Making a note, Janesh and Marty.
I will send you emails.
Thank you.
But so the Oakland show was at a really cool restaurant. Of course, it's Oakland. It's going to be cool and hip and a gentrification restaurant, because they've got like old wood everywhere. But you can tell it was just shipped in from Iowa. But it's really pretty. It was really pretty. And so it was fucking freezing. People were wearing blankets. It was like 50 degrees. And I have to tell you, 50 degrees in Northern California feels different than 50 degrees other places. And you just have to experience it to know what I'm talking about. A Canadian in the audience agreed with me, so I don't want to hear about Milwaukee from you right now, okay?
Let me tell you something about 50 degrees. 50 degrees everywhere means I'm wearing a jacket.
Okay.
People are out of their goddamn. I mean, it's fine if you flew in from Wisconsin to a place in February to a place with 50 degrees. Then you might be in shirt sleeves for 20 minutes. And then you know what you're doing? You're grabbing a sweatshirt because it's 50 degrees.
Yes. Cold. And
it was an outdoor shows.
Is that? Yeah. These are all outdoor shows. And, there are jokes that have been working on Zoom that don't work live, or they're not good enough. You know, they're like,
or not just, yet. Right.
Yeah. Not yet. Maybe they can be, or maybe it's just, I don't know that it we'll see, but, I hate to find that out on stage, of course.
Right. Especially when you're headlining.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd like to find that out when that's why I'm psyched about this feature week with Brian Regan.
Oh, that's cool. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be able to, you know, it's not my job. It's not my job, man. Mm-hmm. He's the one who's got to bring it, and he's been doing it for a year, so he'll be fine.
So it was hit or miss. You know, I hadn't been on stage in so long, and definitely hadn't done a long set live in a long time. So I did 40. I felt like I finished a marathon. You know, I couldn't believe it.
By the way, I told Maria that you did 40, and she was like, "Wait, Lori Kilmartin, she just did 40? Okay, I feel better because she's beating herself. You know, she's like, because on Zoom, you're not getting the feedback. So you're doing 60, 70 minutes of material.
Yeah.
And but you're not getting the laughs. So then when you go into that live situation, you slow down and it makes your brain not remember where the hell you are.
Yeah. There's a lot of things going on. There were a lot of things going on. That might've been one of them. One of many. Mm-hmm. So that was the Oakland show. And then, the next day was last night. I had a 5 and an 8 PM show outdoors again at this hotel called the Phoenix Hotel. It's in the Tenderloin, which might be, it's just full of junkies. It's weird. It's like always been Hamsterdam of San Francisco, right? From The Wire, where everyone just goes to shoot up. But apparently because of so much gentrification in all the other parts of San Francisco, the only place left is the Tenderloin. So it's really sad and bad right now. But this hotel is in the middle of it and it's cute. It's gorgeous. It has a pool that has letters. I mean, the number 69 written all over in plaster at the bottom.
What does that mean? What are they talking about?
I think that was the address of the hotel. I think. I don't know. I didn't inquire. Or maybe it was the hotel's phone number. And that was fun. The first show was, I felt, you know, a little bit better. It was a lot of fun. And then found some things that tied up, like instead of being aghast at jokes not working, I cinched a few together and I was like, I finished it. Yay.
Yeah.
And then, the second show, is very similar, but it started to rain. So I was like, you know, hammering through things, but I think I did like 38 and 35 on those two shows.
Okay.
And that's also doing almost all stuff I've worked out since, the pandemic started, plus two chunks that I remember from, you know, 2019. I don't want to have to go back and remember more stuff. I will if I need to fill out the time, but I'd like to just push forward, right, with newer material.
Yeah, that's awesome. I wish I got off stage at that first live gig that I did. You know, I think I texted you, and it was Matt Brunger was on it, and Eliza Schlesinger, mm-hmm. and Justin, who's starts with an H, spacing his name, and then a couple of the comics who because I was twitchy at that too. That was really, and I left pretty much after my set, just because I was like, just go home. I got off stage and it was such, it has that different high, right? It has that different, that different feel to it that I was like, where else can I get up? You know? And then I found out that they were doing sets. The Improv's open?
They are?
Well, I don't, remember we got the message in the chat that there.
Yeah. I didn't know it was doing, that people were doing sets or if they were just hanging out on the patio. Is it open?
Well, they said that guy did the set.
Oh, okay.
Remember that? Remember?
Oh, I know who we were talking about, but I didn't know. I thought that person was just hanging out.
Oh, no. They said that he did a set.
Oh, okay.
And, I can't remember his last name. So that's going to be his name forever.
Yes. His last name is so close to that crime description.
That's right. I just remembered it. It does start with an R. Anyway, I probably would have driven by the Improv and then I had to run into that guy and had been forced to, you know, like we're supposed to stop other comics from being horrible people. It's not happening. I don't have that kind of power.
No, I mean, you know, here's the, I felt this even when people were like, would you be on a show with Louis C.K.? Yeah. Guess what? You need female comics more than ever when the other people on the show may have committed sexual assault.
Right. You know, if I'm following Jeffrey Ross, there's going to be a crack. I'm going to make a comment. It's just rebuttal at this point. It's just everybody goes up and says, you know, I'm half this and half that. You know what that is?
Yeah.
That's what the Louis C.K. following him would be.
Sure. Something like that. I mean, you know, so I can't do a booker's job. You know, I got to worry about me getting booked, not other people getting unbooked. You know what I mean? It would be nice if I just know so many. Again, we've gone over this 10 million times. But we know so many funny male comics that aren't done.
That aren't monsters.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that Ron Funches Instagram thing.
Oh, my God.
Where he was like,
Ron is one of them. He's the greatest. I love
he's
Ron.
He's the greatest. And he was, whose podcast was he doing that the clip was from?
Whitney Cummings.
That's it. And he was just like, she asked him if he had seen the Woody Allen documentary, and he said, why would I watch that? And he's like, I wouldn't watch that. He's like, why do we got to make another show about that guy? We know about the evil, you know, the evil white murderer, rapist people. Why do we have to see another Son of Sam or whatever? I forget what his example was, but
right.
And then he looked directly in the camera and goes, oh, and he's listening to this. Hey, Ron, you were great on Whitney Cummings' podcast.
So creepy when you do that, Jackie. So creepy.
Is it that I call out a person who's listening?
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. Is Cheryl listening? You could say hi to her.
She's not, and I'll make sure she never does.
Hi, Phil. Hi, Darla.
Oh, my God.
These are my siblings.
So no, but I feel like that too. Like just there's other voices, you know.
Yeah, there's so many great comics.
We know so many of those stories. Let's hear some new ones. I just want to hear new stories. That's it. I want to hear new voices and stuff like that.
Yeah,
me too. But whatever. What can we do? Somebody tagged you and me on another club's lineup. Like what the fuck are we gonna do? What are you talking about?
Right. The club that I'm working in Arkansas, it's so funny because it's this month are all dudes our age or older that are white dudes. And somebody tagged me about it and I was like, no, I hear that guy actually does book a fair amount of people of color and women, and he tries to mix it up. This just happens to be, and there is no squeakier wheel than the straight white guy, right? And their management. So there's, you know, it's going to happen. There's going to be a month of straight white guys. That's just the way.
Sure.
The business is still going, but we do all want to see Miss Pat working all month. Just over and over again.
Of course.
How great would that be?
That would be awesome. You know who was at my show? The first show was Marilyn Pittman, comic, a San Francisco legend, as they say, once you pass 60. But she was like one of the early out gay comics. And again, those ladies got fucked because no one would work them except only gay rooms.
Yeah.
And, you know, they laid the groundwork for a lot of people that are able to work just mainstream rooms, and it's not that big of a deal. You know, I'm sure not to minimize any shit that they go through, but, you know, those women paid a price that, you know, someone like Ellen paid a different price because she didn't mention it, and she, you know,
there's prices still being paid. I have to tell you, I was talking to one of this guy. Andy has a new podcast. Andy has a podcast now.
Wow.
Ethics in Video Games.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah. And his co-host teaches philosophy and ethics in at the tech college that Andy teaches game design, New York Film Academy. And but the thing is in his ethics class, we were just talking to them, and he said, you know, a lot of people, I make them write about how sexism or racism affects different businesses. That's one of their papers that they have to write. And every year, two or three people pick women in comedy.
Oh my God.
And right. He said one of the, he's been teaching for what, 10 years or so. He said, this year I got the first one where, one of his students, a woman student wrote about how, childbirth and childcare affect women comics.
Oh, interesting.
And he said, do you think that that's true? And I was like, why don't I just record what you just said and play it back to you? Are you out of your goddamn... Of course it's true. What are you, nuts?
Yeah.
And yeah, because it's... I was like, men get to have children and then go on the road.
Yeah, they do.
Women get to have children and not go on the road. Or, unless they bring their children.
Or they go on the road, they bring their children, or they go on the road and they move their mother in with them and they don't have sex. Or they go on the road and they hire a babysitter and they spend half their own money on babysitting fees. Yeah. So, yeah. It was funny. There's this article, Angelina Jolie said she has like prime full custody or most majority custody, I guess, of her kids, right? There's six. Yeah. They have six kids.
Right. And she's the primary caregiver.
Right. So one of them's 19. The oldest, the girl, Zaharia, I think, is 19. So
okay,
you know, probably not more parenting there. But the others are down to the age of 12, maybe like 17 to 12. Every age sucks energy out of you. But those ages specifically take a lot of emotional
work,
maintenance, nurturing. Yes. And when your parents are getting divorced and, you know, whatever, all that stuff that's happening, plus being Angelina Jolie's kid, whatever, there's a lot going on. So she said she hasn't been directing as much, like it kind of killed her directing career, which, you know, I don't know that she is a great director. I think she's done a couple things. I don't know that they're great or not, but I was just like, yeah, you know, it will. And any child will slow you down dramatically. And six kids, you know, even Angelina Jolie, who could afford whatever she wanted to take care of them, she can't parent and do the things she wants to do on the timeline she wants to do it.
Right. And whether or not the things that she's directed so far are amazing, she doesn't get a chance to learn more.
Yeah.
Right. It's slowing her learning curve down.
Sure. Yeah.
So that's a drag. Though I read, I don't know how, because I don't read a lot of articles, but I guess Brad Pitt is like, I want to take care of those kids too. Why don't we have joint custody? And I guess that there's some sort of, she thinks that he's abusive or something, or.
Yeah. That'll come out, I guess. I have no idea at the moment.
Right. But I mean, that's just weird. I don't know. I mean, I don't know either of those. Turns out.
Is it weird, Jackie?
Look at my brother,
4 years. How weird is it?
Yeah. My brother Russ does like to ask me whenever anyone super famous comes up, do you know them? I don't know them. I don't know Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. So.
Yeah.
So you're going in tomorrow.
Going in tomorrow.
And then will you stay overnight? Okay, good. Cause it'll take a couple of days healing and.
Surgery's in the afternoon and then they're going to keep me overnight. Maybe because of, you know, whatever.
Just to watch for everything
going on. Yeah. And then if all goes well, I come home Tuesday morning and, then my friend Cheryl's going to, move in, stay in my son's room and, kind of help out. There'll be drains and blood and fluid coming out of drains for a couple of days. And
it sounds sexy. It sounds like it's gonna change your.
I am not looking forward to the pain, but I am excited about what it'll be like after. It's Marilyn had it. A couple female comics have told me they've had it. A friend of ours, lady.
But I don't know if they're out about it. So I know
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. This lady texted me and she was like a double H and went down to a D.
Ooh.
I just sent you in the chat.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that.
Yeah.
That's
just life changing. So anyway,
it sounds like Roman fucking numerals, double H.
I know. I mean, it was just, I can't wait to just go down the alphabet normally. Is double H an L or is there an L as well? Why don't we just go down to Z so we know what we're dealing with?
MLXVII. And it's like, is that a Super Bowl or is that your bra size? And I'm still riffing about this. Anyway,
you are. You can't stop yourself, Jackie.
Can't stop myself. But like, someone was just telling me that she's saving up for more plastic surgery and really likes. Was doing plastic surgery a lot. She's our age, and she was doing a lot of it about 10 years ago. Years ago, yeah. And then, and she's like,
every time I see her, I'm like, fuck, she looks fucking amazing.
She really does. And she's aging well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't not look her age.
Right.
But she looks amazing anyway.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
And she's just beautiful. And so... that's what I was trying to explain to, because I had to buy some clothes because I don't have any clothes, and all the pants I have are either ripped. I mean, nobody's seen me from the waist down, so the only pants I've bought are sweatpants in the last 10 years. Last year. Mm-hmm. And so I went to Bloomingdale's because I couldn't get out of Bloomingdale's because there were too many people at the mall. And so I was just like, so some young Armenian woman helped me out, and she was like, I'm going to get you these clothes. And I was like, you can't get me this. She wanted me to go to Eileen Fisher.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's too boxy. I am not Diane Keaton. Sure. I am never going to be lithe. That is not my body type. You have to figure out, like, what would, you know, what are you dressing Leslie Jones in? What are you dressing Tiffany Haddish in? Right?
Right.
It's, I have more, it's Deborah DiGiovanni and I, you know, it's voluptuous, but I don't dress as good as Deborah DiGiovanni. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, I would like to. I would like to dress like all of those people. Instead, so then I did a Zoom set, and it was Jimmy Pardo was... It was the roast one I told you about where Danielle was there.
Yeah.
Danielle Koenig.
Why you did the set, because Danielle was there. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she wrote, and I could tell which roast joke she fucking wrote too. And it was, and Pardo's, I could hear Pardo laughing at my set, which was good. But then one of the roast jokes was, I see Jackie's wearing her dress hoodie. And I had just bought that fucking hoodie. I shouldn't be allowed to dress myself is what I'm saying. And I also bought a pair of shoes, which they're pretty serviceable. they're the brand is Allbirds.
Yeah.
Didn't they ask to advertise on us? And so I looked at them and I was like, well, they look really comfortable. I think I'm going to buy and I need a pair of travel shoes, you know?
Who's the female? Someone told me they hired a stylist to buy. Well,
Carmen told me she hooked me up with someone who would do it, but I don't know how to do it without in real life, you know? And right. I hate shopping so much.
Oh, me too. I was walking around the Embarcadero, and it was the anniversary. Well, it's not the last time I was at the Embarcadero was when I was at the Punchline recording my album, and I was walking around, and I walked into a store, and I bought clothes from the store, and I had the bag on my bed that night as I was going over this one fucking joke I couldn't make work. And I'm like, I see the bag. I'm like, Ann Taylor, oh my God. And it all came together. Right. And so I'm like, yes, that's it. And so I went back to Ann Taylor Loft, and I bought a skirt to thank them for helping me finish a joke.
Oh, they're doing vital work. Hey, I think why don't we do a break?
Let's do it.
Sure.
Mr. Robotman, what are you doing?
I'm just taking one last look at my coworkers.
Every journey comes to an end.
Remember, Plek, the space will be with you always.
Sorry, who are you again?
Master Kieran.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Just calling in.
Friendships will be tested.
Dar, you have to do it. You have to shoot Plek.
Okay.
Wow, you shot him so fast.
Destinies will be fulfilled.
I've become a complete bird. I'm flying. I'm flying.
On April 28th, the saga starts concluding.
Guys, we don't have a choice. We have to put on a show.
We can do it in the old barn. We've got the costumes, we've got a stage. We can do it, you guys.
Mission to Zix, the final season on Maximum Fun.
And then, do you want to do the ad?
Okay, yeah. Function of Beauty. They're back. We missed them. Okay. Mm-hmm. They create unique and customized hair formula based on a Schwarpa thorough quiz to give your hair everything it needs to look and feel its best. Every product is sulfate and paraben free. I think I said those words right. Vegan and cruelty free. Oh, I know how to say cruelty. And Function and Beauty fans are absolutely wild about the fragrances. There's tropical mango, there's sweet peach, crisp pear, subtler scents like lavender rose, and my favorite, eucalyptus.
I think I'm gonna try that sweet the peach one.
Yeah,
even though it's always good. Weird when it's fruit, but I like
crisp pear. I like crisp anything.
All right.
Listen, Jackie, if fragrance is not for you, that's okay because you can get it unscented as well.
I've done that. I've gotten unscented. I've gotten rose. And I may try maybe that pear. Yeah, peach might be too much for me. Sometimes fruit is not good for me. I kind of like flowers better. But I like that they offer it all. Anyway, it is nice. And I like... it lasts a long time too, which I kind of like. You know how they always say use a quarter's worth?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the size of just a 25 cent piece?
Yeah.
And
I don't follow those instructions.
Oh, no?
Oh, I usually squirt it in. I get a lot in that hand. I love it. Lots of shampoo.
I do. I tend to use more on the conditioner side just because my hair is thick and lush, you guys. It's pretty lush. It's or coarse, whatever you'd like to call it. I don't. But if you go to functionofbeauty.com/Jackie Laurie to take the quiz and save 20% on your first order. So that applies to their full range of customized hair, skin, and body products, by the way. So functionofbeauty.com/Jackie Laurie and let them know you heard about it here and get 20% off your first order. functionofbeauty.com/Jackie Laurie.
Yes.
And who's the comic of the week this week?
Hold on. Let me congratulate you.
Yeah.
That finally the genocide of your people was recognized by the U.S. government.
Every time there's a Democratic president, there is always talk when it comes around Marty Day, right? Armenian Martyrs Day, the 24th of April, which when I was a child was always cheerfully, you'd go to church and watch the slideshow of the Turks. The Turks took too many pictures of the genocide for them
like
to keep going. Yeah, it was pre-Germans.
Wow.
And the Turks were like, but they invented cameras. Let's go. Look, we're making the Armenians leave and burying them on the side of the road. Let's take a picture. And then let's make a 7-year-old watch that. And every Armo Marty Day, man, they would do the slideshow. We'd have to hear the stories.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But your aunt Alice. Is she related or is that on your dad's side? And she's not Armenian at all.
No, she's Armenian. So she's actually like my first cousin once removed. She's my dad's mom's sisters, like their first cousins.
Right.
So her mom, my Aunt Helen, my great Aunt Helen, and my grandmother were the two survivors. And also my great uncle Sebu, who was a baby. They carried him.
Oh my God.
And he lived.
Oh my God.
And, but they were the only 3 of 9 kids who lived, I think it was.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And Sebu ended up going back to, he went to Soviet Armenia because the Soviet Union said that they were going to let Armenia become its own country if they helped during World War I. And they were like, who are you fighting? Oh, you're fighting the Turks? Yeah. We'll help you with that. And then the Soviets backed out on it. And so it was just that. But
is his descendants are Russian then?
Oh yeah, full on Armenian. Well, they live in Yerevan, so that now they're in Armenia.
Okay,
and Armenia is its own thing.
They grew up
now.
In the Soviet Union.
Yeah, grew up in the my great uncle Sebu came and visited in like the late 70s, but he had to leave his wife and his son as hostage.
Oh my God!
Yeah. In 70, but he was a colonel in the Soviet, he was a supply colonel in the Soviet army, which means that he was fabulously wealthy.
You Cations figure it out. I'm telling you, it's inspiring. You know?
It is inspiring. It's for years I rejected it and said, money isn't for me. And now I'm like, oh no, money is for me. I would like money. And it's okay. I'll use it for good. I'll use my powers for good. But yeah, so Biden said, called it a genocide, and the Turks are mad. And I could be happy for a minute and then realize that as the United States, you know, backs off from being the primary world superpower, mm-hmm. we get to, you know, say whatever we want to the Turks, because they're going to ask us to remove our troops anyway. We might as well call it, and then the Chinese are going to have to come in and take over that spot anyway.
Why doesn't Turkey just admit it? Like, I don't understand that. It's good for the country. Germany's fucking kicking ass, Jackie, and they shouldn't be after what they did, okay?
Except for that they did amends correctly. Like, they even paid reparations.
Yeah.
And it is amazing the way that how it's manifested, but we're talking, it's over 100 years ago now, right?
Right.
So the Turks that are alive today were actually raised with the lie that it did not happen, that the relocation was voluntary.
Oh, I see.
So they actually don't think it's real.
Gotcha.
Which is for anyone, you know, and the thing, it's at this point where, you know, it's like in the South where people are raised with the Confederate idea of the noble Confederate army and mm-hmm. the fact that it was about states' rights and not about slavery. And there were slaves that stayed with their owners,
sure.
their masters. And those were the good ones. And you were like, they like it. And you're like, No. I don't think you understand what was happening. Yeah. And so it's very, and this is in no way to compare the Armenian experience with the African-American experience.
Right.
By the way, allow me to fucking backpedal and acknowledge that is not so. Because right.
The ignorance on the other side is comparable, however.
And that is all. And that is all. Yeah. So.
Do you think, because I get the feeling, many Armenians that are like one generation away from Armenia are conservative, Trump supporters, perhaps.
Well, is this
one of those things that makes them instant Democrats just because a Democratic president did what they were supposed to do?
No, they have been sold a bill of goods about from the Republicans. You know, that whole first generation of immigrants that are sold that the Democrats are Marxists, the Democrats are socialists, the Democrats are communists, the Democrats are pro-abortion, they're anti-family. You know, that's what they've been sold, all these new Armenians.
It's like with the Cubans in Florida. It's primarily a Republican constituency at the moment. Although that's starting to fade, too, as you get a couple generations away from Cuba.
Couple generations, and all you need is the entitlement of actual Americans. and then you're fine. So, I don't know. It's so funny because Darla and I went to a church down near San Diego once, probably 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And some woman said, well, you know, most Armenians are Republicans. And Darla just looked at me and she goes, not all. And she just let it sit there. And the woman just stared at us and then walked away. And we're like,
Wait, when did this interaction happen?
It was probably 2001.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 2000. Darla came to visit. Mm-hmm. We went down to see a cousin, our cousin Humpar, and we have not. I'm answering for some reason Kyle's question as I talk to you.
In the middle of another sentence. That's Jackie, just efficient.
Jackie, I need that first name again, please.
Humpar.
Okay. I heard it right. Thank you.
Humbarkation.
Yes.
And
it's his middle school.
This
was
is
it tough.
Humbar. I have a picture of him wearing a skirt, essentially from Guys and Dolls, Guys and Dolls era. Ooh. He was actually, it's so funny. My dad, you know, he hung out with these guys and he was just telling me about our cousin Morad. Yeah, Morad. Morad Jengozian. We used to call him Uncle Moron. And his kids used to call my dad Uncle Idiot because my dad's name is Elliot.
What a nasty family.
And I have to say that my father, while very much like radiation, he affected our lives, but we could never see him. And so it's an old joke of mine, but Morad was a piece of work, man. And but my dad will always love Morad Jengozian, because when my dad broke his ankle, they were going to take his foot off because it was so broken, like it was twisted. They were like, "We're just going to cut it off."
Wait, where, when?
This is in like 1967.
Jesus Christ. They would cut your dad's foot off?
Yeah. Yeah. Because he got it caught in the stirrup and he got dragged around. He was horseback riding and he got dragged around the corral.
Oh, I thought he was doing a mechanical bull or something.
No, it was a real horse and a real thing. And they were like, "Well, we can't rebuild it, or you don't have the right insurance or some damn thing." And Morad lied about the kind of insurance my dad had to the hospital. And then he knew a good orthopedic surgeon. And he said, "And this guy's going to do," he knew who the best orthopedic, he said, "And that guy's going to do the surgery." And so they kept his foot on until that guy came. They did the surgery. And because my dad was just telling me this story, because I have no good stories about Morad Jengozian. Morad Jengozian was just a skid the whole time. But my dad will always love Morad Jengozian because of that, saving his foot.
Can you imagine how different your life would have been if your dad had been handicapped that way and had been able a fake to go foot. Sell and just, oh mm-hmm. my God.
That's and work sad. With a wooden foot. Yeah. That would have been weird.
Wow. Wow. That guy really, that guy changed the trajectory of your family by keeping it on the same path. As opposed to, wow, that's,
there were just other families that he did not, like his own, and the fact that he was a slumlord in Racine, Wisconsin. Okay. So there were other things. Hey, let's do the comic of the week, which is more cheerful than Morad Jengozian, who we called Moose, by the way, because Morad is a dumb name.
Okay.
Jan Karam is a great name. I can't believe she has not been comic of the week, Jan Karam.
I thought she had.
She did Letterman, for Christ's sake.
I looked for many spellings of her name on her page, and I couldn't.
Right, to see if we had misspelled it or whatever. Yes. And if she is on the list, she's definitely worth being on the list twice.
You know what? I have to agree. Yes.
Because she's such a good comic.
Yeah, she's very funny. Was she originally from New York, or is she in L.A.?
I don't know. Comic? I can't remember. I feel like she's in New York, but I can't. I can't tell. All I know is that she delivers. Like, she goes up, she kills. Mm-hmm. She's going to be there. I remember she used to do this bit. It's got to be on one of her albums about random. She would always date these guys who had random rage.
Yeah.
And it would be, they would be nice, nice, nice. And then they would beat the shit out of like the gas pump. They were pumping gas. And then they'd come in and go, "Where do you want to go to lunch, honey?" And she's like, "What is happening?" And she's great.
Yeah.
Jan Karam. And it's JANNKARAM. Mm-hmm. So find Jan Karam and follow her and then give her money.
First of all,
get her work.
Yes. Yeah. Buy her stuff. Carl LaBeouf died. Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh,
Sure. Sure. I knew him. I didn't know him. Like, I met him in 84, right? Mm-hmm. And then I ran into him 20 years later.
Wow.
So he's one of the very famous and famous adjacent comics who are distantly polite to me. Did you know him?
A little bit. I mean, I worked with him a couple times at the MGM Grand in Vegas, and he was so nice and funny, and he asked for me. No one ever asked for me, but he was nice to me. He wasn't like creeping on me or anything, you know?
Yeah. He just wanted to work with you, which is great. That's ideal. That's how it should be.
Yes. Yeah.
Good work, Carl. Yeah. Carl was always super sane.
Yeah.
For a guy who like literally hung out with Kinison, you know, that's when I met him.
Right. You know, I say this because Jan's also our comic of the week, is it's really hard to stay in comedy. Believe me, there's every incentive to fucking walk away. And the longer you're in it, the
less. At every level.
Yeah. But after like 30 years, you have achieved some stuff and you're like, I could walk away and people would know that I had been there.
That I had tried.
Yes. Like the first 10 years, no one would know if you left. Right.
Right.
But then after a while there, at least you'd come up in a conversation of whatever happened to, which is really all I want in my life. Actually, I want people to wonder where I wandered off to. That would be great.
I ran into Kevin Meaney.
Yeah.
Before he passed away. Right.
So yeah.
I ran into him at a car wash, probably 8 years ago. And I asked him if he was still doing stand-up. And he became justifiably angry at me.
Yeah. What the hell?
He's like, yeah. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm on the road.
But he was also doing Broadway shows. So that was a question out of the blue.
Right. I thought he was acting and, you know, I thought he might have transitioned to something more stay at home.
Yeah.
Show busy. Right.
Right. Right. But it's, you know, Carl LeBove was a comic for maybe 40 years, correct? I would say
at least 1980.
Yeah. So
probably 75.
That's pretty awesome and amazing. And he was still working out of the Comedy Store as of late. So, you know, it's hard to do. There's I can't imagine the amount of people he started with that have quit, you know?
Well, and you know what came up in my timeline was another old guy who was he was from Wisconsin. He was, I think he was Ojibwe. Charlie Hill. Did you ever work with Charlie?
I did not.
He was a Comedy Store guy too. Mm-hmm. Native American comic. Literally wrote, "Hi, how are you? How high are you?"
Oh, wow.
Literally wrote
writing
that,
a classic.
That is, he did it on Carson. Wow. Johnny Carson in like 77 or 78.
Is that a palindrome? It's not, right?
Hi, how are you? Hi, how are you? How high are you? How high are you? I don't think so. But he's so great. He was, and he was such a good guy. Mm-hmm. And he passed away not long ago.
I think I remember people talking about him. I didn't know him, but
Yeah. It's so interesting. Like, it's proof, though, that you can keep doing stand-up and then die. And not have to worry about retirement.
We needed hard evidence, Jackie, because no one believed it.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about retirement and stand-up comedy. You can just work till you die.
Yeah, that's true.
Look at Joan Rivers.
You can get be unpaid till you die.
Right. You can just keep grinding it out and never be rich until you pass away.
Yeah. Yeah, Joan Rivers, that was a wake up call. Maybe not a wake up call, but just like alarming. I was like, do I want to end up like that or don't I want to? Like, part of me is like, yeah, she's still like freaking out. She doesn't have spots. And then I was like, what? She's almost 80 and she's freaking out that she doesn't have spots. I don't want to have that feeling my whole life.
Right. Right.
To me dying in surgery, so I don't have to have that feeling ever again.
You guys, let's take a Max Fun break on Kilmartin lamenting her possible fate. No, we'll all be thinking good thoughts.
Max Fun Drive's almost here. It starts on Monday, May 3rd, ends on May 14th, and it's the best time to support the shows you love. Here are some folks like you sharing what Max Fun and our shows mean to them.
Most importantly, it's meant community.
And, just thanks for hanging out, making joke-em-ups, and making my week a little bit brighter.
So, thanks, Max, for fun, for making me a better person.
and making sure that I'm surrounded by better people.
Thanks again for all you do. Love supporting Max Fun, and keep it up.
Come back Monday, May 3rd for more details from your favorite hosts. We'll have some of the best episodes of the year, special Max Fun Drive thank you gifts, and maybe a few surprises. That's Monday, May 3rd. Until then.
Anyway, but I think you're going to live. Let's just put that out there. Sure. I think you're going to have high titties, which will be nice.
I don't call them titties. I mean,
Nobody does.
They love people, titties.
Well, it's the words that we don't use because they feel kind of gross. They have a weird mouth feel. The word titties is, I'm trying to get used to it. Pussy, cunt, just all the horrible words that I was told to never say.
We are forced to use their language so they'll listen to us talk about our bodies, right?
Jesus Christ, breasts, you are correct. I'm so sorry.
If we say breasts, they'll be like, oh, feminist. But if you go tits, they're like, oh, she's cool. You know? But I will never say
tit again, and I will always say breast. Because I actually like the word breast.
It's fine. It's
the word.
It's what it is. You know, we don't have a sexy name for knees. They're fucking knees, man. It's a body part. Somebody else sexualized them and made up a word for boobs, for breasts. You know, it wasn't us.
Yeah, it was boobs. And then it was breasts and knockers and fucking stop talking. Just, yeah. The show today was pretty amazing.
Oh, cool.
Brian Jacob, I always get the accent wrong, like Murray Valeriano. I get the accent wrong on Brian Jacobovitz. That's it. You remember him from Paper Heroes?
Yes.
He uh-huh. did the, you know.
Uh-huh. And I did that show right before COVID started, before COVID started.
Yeah. Well, he did Sunday Services today.
Oh, cool.
And he has a great new joke about Monopoly.
Hey.
He works in a board game store. Sure. And so it's awesome that he's doing a joke about Monopoly.
Are they still open?
Yeah, they are. They made it. They made it.
Oh, my God. So many closed down places in San Francisco. Like the financial district isn't a good place on the weekends anyway. You know, the waterfront.
It's so dead. Yeah.
But oh my God, I was so happy. I mean, I bought something I didn't need at Ann Taylor just because I was like, I'm glad you're here. The sales lady's like 75, you know? I love it when it's an old, I love those old retail sales ladies, you know, at Macy's and stuff like that. You know, they've been there like 35 years or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It's Maggie May and Amy Miller both did sets.
Cool.
And Valerie Tosi.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And Winter Spears.
That's a great lineup.
Oh, and Judah Friedlander. He just did a set too. Cause you know, his weekly show, Judah Friedlander's weekly show is, mostly crowd work while
Yeah.
And, but he just did bits and it was awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. I love bits. It's not that I don't love crowd work. It's just that, I want to hear the craft, I guess.
I did some crowd work.
Did you?
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was off of something I said, you know, so it didn't feel like I was, you know, deliberately going, hey, what do you do for a living? But it was fun. Yeah.
Good. That's awesome. Yeah, I don't have, I'm supposed to do a benefit on Zoom on Friday night at 9:30 Pacific time, and Lowell, Arkansas is Central time. So by 11:30, I should be done with my second show, right? Especially if I can go up late.
Do you have to close the show out and say thanks, good night?
No, he usually closes.
What? Wow. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a.
But I want to, but swear to God, I mean, it's going to be, I'm going to get to watch Brian Regan do 5 sets.
Oh my God.
And I'm going to. Because who doesn't, I mean.
How much is
that? That'll be. Yeah, I'm gonna.
Tickets are probably 100, right? At least.
No, they're 20, I think.
What?
Wow. 20 or 30 bucks. I'm uncertain. Okay. All I know is that they're either sold out. A couple of them have wait lists.
Sure.
And
all the yoga classes I take that are in class in the studio have wait lists. Like the spots fill up immediately.
Yeah.
Barely have any people practicing yoga together. It's like a very tiny group.
Oh, right. Right.
Room. Yeah.
I have my Pilates studio. That's right. I have a Pilates studio, and I have a credit from over a year ago.
Yeah.
They're finally back in the studio.
Yeah.
And I should go check and see what they're, if I do have a credit still, or if it just went away with COVID. And part of me
honored that stuff.
They might. And I think they should, but I also feel bad that they,
I know. You know, yeah.
But I should also go to Pilates because it was really good physical therapy. Because mm-hmm. the left side of my body is a lot stiffer than it was when I was doing Pilates. Yeah. So
I swam a little bit before our podcast, but I didn't have time to do a full swim. So mm-hmm. I'm going to go after our podcast because I'm not going to be able to swim for like a month probably.
Oh, right. You're just going to get another swim in today?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a two swim Sunday with Kilmartin. Hey, where are we at, Kyle?
We are at 53.
Oh, we're so close.
So close.
We need 7. I got 5.
Well, Brian Jacobovitz wants a notebook.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And I told him that he was, because he was in town, that... I could just drop it off at the Paper Heroes for him.
Oh, that's good.
And he could save shipping because they're $30 because they weigh so much.
Yeah, it'll...
And 20 bucks live, you know?
Right. It'll be a while before I can lift my arms to do anything.
Right. But well, I told him I could give him one.
I'm lucky that I have my son to help me. I feel really blessed.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be recording, so don't come in the garage.
I've been gone for 2 days.
Did you notice? I'll tell you something. Okay, so Patrick Brady, who does the audio production for The Dork Forest,
yeah,
put together my VO reel.
Oh, neat.
And because I got someone who asked me for a voiceover reel because it's on my vision board that I want to do voiceover for a DC or a Marvel or a Star Trek or absolutely anything. I would like to do a cartoon VO. I would like, and so I was like, I didn't want to do it. So, and I had those three lines in Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
And so I was like, here's a thing. And then, so I called Miley Flanagan, who does Naruto. And I was like, how long do I do? What is a VO? What is it supposed to be? And she goes, well, it's a lot shorter than it used to be. It's only 60 to 90 seconds. And they're just looking for different stuff. And I said, well, I don't really do voices. And she said, they're going to want your personality. And so and then I was talking to, one of the other draws is that because I do stand up, that I can write something funny on the fly, that there's improv possibilities. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because Maria said that sometimes she comes up with lines while she's doing the VO, and she thinks that sometimes that gets her repeat business because
that's great.
They're psyched because she said something funny because she's a good writer.
Right.
And so what I'm hoping is that because it's mostly just this, right?
Yeah.
And then I could do my dad voice or a dumb voice. Yeah. It's just not that many voices.
What about taking a clip from the book you read out loud?
Yeah. I sent Patrick all of the stuff.
Okay.
And I said, I will pay you if you were willing to listen to this stuff. And he put together 90 seconds.
Oh, cool.
That sounds great.
Oh, that's awesome.
Or at least sounds fine.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it should be a wave or an MP3. I know that it's not supposed to, nobody needs video. It's just audio because it's a VO. Yeah.
I would think wave sounds like flash in that it's like 15-year-old
technology.
Wave's the higher fidelity of the two. And then MP3, Wave is a larger file, but it's higher fidelity. MP3 is not as high fidelity, but it's smaller. So,
oh, okay.
So there you go.
All right.
Maybe I'll go look at, because Miley sent me a link to her VioReel. Mm-hmm. And I'll check and see what the format is. What about that? And
okay.
Zip, zap, zop. I'm excited about possible work. Because here's the thing. I want to record my album. Mm-hmm. And then I want to cherry pick what I do on the road. Essentially, I want to raise my prices.
Yeah.
And make the same amount of money. Stay home more often.
Yeah. Get
more sets around town.
Dude, I missed my kid. I was gone for 2 days, you know?
Yeah. I assume that I will be bursting into tears Wednesday when I go to LAX at 5 a.m.
Oh, God. Mm. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. But I got an exit row.
Ooh.
All right.
So every time I changed my flight, I lost first class.
LAX, you know, everyone's masked, but people, you know, you can buy food and eat it and obviously take your mask off for that. But, you know, people are staying away from each other. And so you can eat food and go to a corner and at least you won't have somebody, you know, breathing right on you.
Did you bring a purifier?
I did not because I had to get my COVID test and I was afraid if there was a problem and I'd have to check the, you know, luggage if I brought a purifier. Yeah.
So you just did carry on.
Yeah. Just to carry on.
Cause it was just two nights up in the Bay Area. Right. Yeah. That makes sense.
If I didn't have to, I would have brought a purifier. Probably
I'm surprised you didn't drive actually.
That was an option, but then again, I had to get the COVID test by 11 a.m.
Oh, such an early. Yeah. And you left your car
24 hours before the surgery. So,
okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
And I had also just driven to the Bay Area a couple of weeks, you know, to see Mrs. Kelly. So, you know, I can always take a few weeks off from going up the 5. And those
La Fruta,
the pro-life billboards and the fuck Gavin Newsom handmade signs and all that stuff. Yeah.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.